What, Bert? What? I can't hear you, Bert. Speak up. And you're like, Ernie, take that banana out of your ear. He goes, I can't hear you, Bert, because I got this banana in my ear.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the Elders Meeting After Show, where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
On this week's Piney Pastors Podcast, we're going to be talking about Bible intake, that is, reading the Bible, the importance of it, and ways that we can make sure that, that's a part of our daily routine. The idea for this podcast came up in that just several of us had talked about in our covenant member checkups that appeared to be an issue for a number of our covenant members, that they can't find time in their daily schedule to, at least on a regular basis, to read the Bible, spend time in prayer. And so we wanted to just talk about some ways maybe that we could help our covenant members in that area of their lives. Now, first of all, it's we talked about the fact that it's it can be a problem in different periods of your life. For example, I'm a retired teacher. I have a lot more time on my hands. Our kids are out of the home. And so I find that it's not that hard to spend time in the Word of God and spend time praying. But on the other hand, I know that a lot of the people in our church are in the midst of raising children, as you two guys are. And so it can become
in the throes of raising children, you might say.
It can become much more of a challenge to find time. And so let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, Nathan, talk about the importance of spending time in God's Word. Why is it so important?
Well, a number of reasons. The first one that comes to mind is that we are commanded by God in His Word to spend time taking in His Word. And Jesus reminds us of that when He's battling Satan, when He's tempted in the desert, and Satan tells Him to turn some stones into bread, and Jesus responds with Scripture. So he actually, his first response is to tell Satan, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then also in his example, he is quoting Scripture, and then every time Satan tempts him, he proceeds to quote Scripture from memory. And so so both by his quotation from Deuteronomy, I believe.
Deuteronomy it is.
And then his example, he is showing us that in order to battle temptation, we need God's Word. So that would be one, both by direct command that we are, well, I don't know if it's command, but we are told that our life is not sustained simply by the food we take in, but our life is actually sustained by the Word of God. Amen. And then the example of Christ. So battling temptation, we need it because there is constant temptation in our life. We are constantly battling, whether we realize it or not. And so we need a constant supply of ammunition to fight. And we need the sustaining. The idea of not living by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, is that spiritually we are sustained by the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's our spiritual food. So if we don't take in Scripture regularly, we're malnourished. And similar effects to being malnourished physically, we're weak spiritually if we're not taking in God's Word as nourishment. You know, we lack spiritual energy, so.
Yeah, and the temptations that we need to fight against are in our minds, meaning that it's how we think, what we believe. Mm-hmm. And so the battle is often for believing the truth. And one way we battle unbelief and battle for believing the truth is you read the truth. You have to take it in regularly because even as Paul says in Romans 12, that we're transformed by the renewal of our mind. Our minds need to be transformed by what is true. And so Bible intake is so important because the Bible is so important. Mm-hmm. It's God's word because of what it is. It's Hebrews talks about being, you know, living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It does something to us, for us. And then in Colossians 3, it says that we need to let the word of Christ dwell among us, plural people, richly. Mm-hmm. So I need Bible intake, but I also need you guys to be taking in the Bible so that the word is dwelling richly among us, so that you're talking about, this is what God's been teaching me, or here's how I'm applying God's word in this situation and in everything. So I think there's innumerable benefits, and like you said, just for that are vital for daily living without being tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine. We need to have the word that grounds us and focuses us and gives us discernment and wisdom for moving forward, but also to help other people on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's our number one weapon against sin. Mm-hmm. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Mm-hmm. Amen. King James.
And you don't want to sin against King James.
No. So when we think about the fact that we have covenant members that are struggling with finding time to spend in the Word of God, that's something that then we need to encourage. We need to exhort each other to do that. And we talked about part of the deal is when you have a house full of kids, especially for mothers, it's very difficult to find 5-10 minutes of privacy, alone time, quiet time. And I think that's one of the things that husbands can and should do for their wives is be sure that they are given that time to spend in God's word.
Intentionally creating, helping them to carve out time, saying, I'm gonna take the kids at this, you know, for this time, and I want you to go and spend some time reading, spend some time praying, spend this time, be intentional with your time, be focused. And I'm going to give you that time instead of just sometimes I was playing with the kids outside. So, you know, why didn't you do that? Well, because I was cleaning up this. I was dealing with this. I was taking care of this. So intentionally thinking through when's a good time. Don't wake her up at 3 a.m. and go, hey, you got some time now. But actually specifically think through strategically how to give her time that where it makes sense in her schedule, which can be a challenge. Yeah, I mean, there's also a challenge. I think if we are being good, godly husbands and fathers, we think that way. So maybe you get up early in the morning go off to work as a husband and father, and you come home after working all day, and you think, well, my wife has been with the kids all day. I miss my kids, so I'll spend time with them. I'll give her a break, and maybe she can have some time in the Word. But maybe as that husband is not spending any time in the Word because he's getting up, going to work, coming home, playing with the kids, spending time with his wife, going to bed, and doesn't really have the time or energy to focus on himself. Mm-hmm. So I think it can go both ways in that, where a wife might say, you know what, how about you give me 30 minutes and then I'll give you 30 minutes or whatever it is, just to go and spend time in the Word. That could be a practical way of doing that. So I think motivation is huge, being reminded regularly how important it is to take in Scripture, the importance of it itself, but then too, practical help, sometimes from other people, sometimes reminders, accountability, encouragements from other people, maybe in your Piney family or accountability partners or just other friends saying, hey, how are you doing in this? I know this has been a challenge for you and you want to grow in it, so how can I pray for you, you know?
Right. Making it a priority, because I think sometimes we think, well, my kids are my priority right now, but I think what parents need to understand, mothers and fathers need to understand, that the number one thing that they can give their kids, the best thing that they can give to their children, the best gift, is to have a close relationship with God, is to be spending time in the Word of God, spending time in prayer. There's no greater gift that a parent can give to their children. There's no greater gift that a husband can give to his wife or a wife to her husband than to have that close fellowship with God. That comes from spending time reading God's word and meditating on God's word and then praying in response to what you've read.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say two things. That one, I sometimes may have the battle of the feeling of, am I just being selfish if I'm going to go read my Bible instead of play with my kids? Well, it's possible, because maybe you're being selfish because you didn't get up early and you could have. Mm-hmm. You could have, when your kids were still sleeping or something, or, you know, whatever. You could have picked a better time, but maybe not. And maybe sometimes, at some point, I need to take this time. I need this time. They need me to take this time. And it's something what I said on Sunday, that we're also teaching our children that Jesus is more important than them. Mm-hmm. And that they're not the center of the universe. And that they need to be reminded that this is something that we do, and we want to encourage you to do it. So sometimes I'll tell my kids, we're all going to read. You go get a book. You have your Bible. You have your other books and stuff that you can read. And I'm going to be reading my books, or I'm going to be reading my Bible.
Calvin's Institutes.
That's right. Et cetera. That's where my 2-year-old reads that, usually. Right. The French version.
Of course.
Yeah. So, but the other thing about that is a careful qualification, because I was guilty of this. And so there was a time, I've told the story before, but that I was reading my Bible and praying and journaling for about 2 hours every day. I was in college, and it was just, I had the time. I could do it. I didn't really have a whole lot of responsibilities other than school and some other stuff I was doing, but I had the time to do that. I came home from a college class, and I knew I had stuff going on that evening, so I needed to spend time in the Word then. And my mom asked me for some help, and I said, sorry, Mom, that's my Bible time. And later, she kind of gently corrected me on that and said, you know, basically, it's more important to be a doer of the Word than a reader. If you're only going to read it and not really be affected much to where you're going to love other people, there was a selfishness that I was doing there. And instead of saying, God would probably be more honored if I would have sacrificed that time to bless my mom, realizing that she was overwhelmed and stressed and needed some help. So there can be a time where we need to balance that, instead of saying, sorry, honey, I need to spend time in the Word, and you need to just deal with it. Like, so we need to have some hard evaluation of that at times, and be wise about how we do it. But
amen.
But let's really carve the time and make time.
Yeah, I think people are different, so people are prone to people are prone generally to go one way or the other, and we're all prone to extremes, but some people are prone to always defaulting to, I'm going to serve my kids. I'm going
to
spend time, you know, always in the application, never in the intake. And other people are just the opposite, like you were in that season of your life.
Use that as an excuse or defense. See, I'm just obeying the Word, or I'm just really need to take in the Word.
Right.
It's really
defending yourself. So we have to know our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal our hearts. Where am I just making excuses because this is my preference? You know, I enjoy reading just in general, almost anything I can read and enjoy that. And I enjoy spending time alone reading. So I can easily justify spending time making the kids be quiet.
I'm reading the good
book. Yeah, and reading the Bible where it can be, just because that's what I enjoy doing. It's a way that I like to relax. And so, It would be no more justifiable than telling them to be quiet so I can watch a movie. And, you know, it might be better for me in the long run, because as I'm reading, hopefully the Holy Spirit would convict me of something. But yeah, the motivation is important. And so we have to know our hearts in that, and where we're prone to fall off the road one way or the other.
I thought it was going to be about Bible intake. Now you're all getting about in the heart. Yeah. So like, nothing is that simple and clear cut. Like, we have to really say God cares about only what we're doing, but why and how we're doing it. Our hearts matter.
Right. And we all need downtime. But I think I think also evaluating how we spend our downtime, there's nothing wrong with looking at Facebook. There's nothing wrong with watching a movie or a TV, or sports. But I think we should evaluate our downtime and say, boy, could I cut out a half hour here?
We'll just prioritize and be intentional.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad always taught me, he always said, plan neglect. Plan to neglect everything else until you've been in the Word. Now, you can take that to an extreme, like we just said,
right,
and even be legalistic about it. But that being disciplined, this is a huge, more than a pet peeve of mine. Being disciplined does not equal legalism. If you're saying, I'm going to get up every day this week at 5 in the morning, and I'm going to, before my kids wake up at 5:40 or 5:30 or whatever it is, I'm going to do that. Well, it's not necessarily being legalistic. Your heart matters in that issue. But it can be, I just really need this. And it'll be rewarding and refreshing and beneficial in the long run.
So let's say that somebody says, well, I can get 15 minutes. What's the best way to spend that 15 minutes?
Eating candy and... Mm. Oh, wait, 15 minutes of Bible intake.
Yes.
Well, is that a trick question?
No, it wasn't a trick
question. I don't know
question.
If there's a best way.
Okay, what's
maybe,
a good way?
Because I think it could... I think best varies from person to person.
Amen.
Okay. But a good way... And you guys can offer other good ways would be,
mine'll be better,
to, you know, I think it's really helpful to have some sort of plan for reading through scripture.
Yeah.
So a good way would be to have a plan and not just say, oh, I have 15 minutes. I'm going to all of a sudden jump
I'm
in.
I'm going to spend 14 minutes looking where I got to, where
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out
where
I'm going to read.
Where, yeah.
Yeah.
Start in one place, go, oh no, that's not, you know, striking my fancy today.
Yeah.
So yeah, to have a plan would be before the 15 minutes starts. Would be a good thing. And then, so, have a plan, start reading. Well, actually, pray before you start reading. It can be even just a really short, Holy Spirit, illuminate your word to me.
But not perfunctory kind of prayer, but like a real meaning, I need you to help me here.
Yeah. Just acknowledging that it won't benefit us if God's not speaking to us through it. So, pray and then read for, you know, 7 or 8 minutes. And then spend some time meditating on it, really thinking about what you just read, and then praying in response to what you read. And, you know, maybe someone legitimately only has 15 minutes, but a lot of times we'll find that we can spend more time once we get into it. If we're really meditating on it and God's revealing something to us and we start praying, we'll find that half an hour has gone by and, you know, we thought we only had 15 minutes, but somehow that other 15 minutes magically appeared.
And sometimes those 15 minutes or more, you have to ask for it. So when's the last time have we been praying for, God, would you allow me more time? I feel like my schedule is constantly busy where I'm moving from one thing to the next, doing the next thing, and putting out fires everywhere I turn. And I don't feel like I have a break. I don't feel like I have 3 minutes. Well, maybe you don't, but are you asking for it? Like, you have not because you asked not. Are you asking God to give you some time? And then maybe he will give you that time. And then you'll be able to use it wisely. And pray that you'll be able to really, you know, Satan has a way of putting good things in front of us that we make them the ultimate thing. Or we sacrifice the better thing for a good thing. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Sometimes you have to evaluate, is this a good thing to play with my kids? Yes. Is it a good thing to read this other book? Yes. Is it a good thing to respond to this email? Sure. But it might not be the best thing at that moment, because that's where you say, you know what, for myself, I know my own heart. If I start answering email, then I'll get to the next one and the next one and the next one. And then I'll, then 30 minutes have gone by and I'll say, well, now I have no time to read my Bible at all. Mm-hmm. And so if I neglect those emails first and say, I'm going to read my Bible instead, because it's more important for me to fellowship with God, to worship him, seeking him in his word, then I'll do that first, and then everything else will come second. And sometimes it means that I don't have time to do other things that are really important or need to be done, but that I've still chosen wisely because it was more beneficial to attend my heart than to check things off my list, which is a huge deal for me, sometimes hard.
Yeah, I liked what you said about meditation, Nathan. I think that that is one way that the Holy Spirit uses to get the word of God, maybe from our minds and down into our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe you can explain, what does it mean to, what does practically meditation look like then in Scripture?
For me, when I'm meditating, first of all, asking questions about what I've read. What does the Scripture teach me about God? Mm-hmm. What does it teach me about myself and our relationship? Are there any commands there?
So it's practical, not mystical.
Those kind of thoughts. And then just maybe sometimes I even reword what I've said, put it, you know, I say that kind of a little bit with a little bit of fear, but just thinking through what it's saying, how it would apply to my life, how it would maybe change how I approach my day, how I treat my wife or my grandkids, or even my fellow elders.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think as we begin to meditate and think on those things immediately after reading the scripture, what I've found is those thoughts come back to me again later in the day when my mind is on a little bit of some downtime, and I begin to again think about what I read that day, rather than just reading it and then closing the Bible. Often when I do that, I forget what I've read, and if somebody were to say, "What did you read?" I don't remember.
So Steve, you had said this earlier, but that going along with what Nathan said was that if you have 15 minutes, maybe a good way for people to take 5 minutes reading, 5 minutes meditating, 5 minutes praying. Now, you know, it might not always be that clean and neat, but that read the text. And sometimes it might be, you know, a minute reading it. Might be a longer passage and take a little longer or whatever, but just kind of summarize, you know, what you just read in a sentence, or write it down in paraphrase, kind of reworded way. And sometimes for me, it's been beneficial. We're working through memorizing a book of Ephesians. Instead of just memorizing it to say, "No, I've learned it. I got it down." Memorize it to the point where you can use it to preach to yourself. Mm-hmm. Memorize it to the point where you can use it when you're not able to pick up your Bible. You can use it to think it through, meditate on.
Yeah.
So I've been just surprised by how much downtime I have when I'm, you know, washing dishes or cleaning the table off, or putting my daughter down to bed, or driving in the car from the office, or going to a meeting. I have 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, when I don't realize it, and I can work on memorizing it and think through. I never thought about that phrase before, because I'm saying it over and over again in my head. I start to notice things I didn't notice before. So, memorization is meant for meditation. I think if we just memorize without meditating, we probably won't learn it as deeply as well, hold it as long. And B, I don't think it really will have the effect that it should have. When you hide God's word in your heart, it doesn't mean just memorize it.
Right.
It means really let it sink in deeply, mm-hmm. to where you feel the change it's having, the effect it has on you as you're learning it.
Yeah.
And so while we're preaching through Ephesians, we have in the worship book suggested passages to memorize. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're picking one verse from here and one verse from there, but Nathan, I think you were in charge of that. Just explain real quick how you're doing that.
Yeah. Well, it ended up being really, if someone follows what's laid out in the worship book, they'll end up memorizing the majority of Ephesians. I didn't look at it and see what percentage it is, but if someone...
But you left out all the bad verses, right?
They're welcome to do that. The what?
You left out all the bad verses.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, I went through and said, this one's bad, this one's good. No, I kind of went through and, you know, it's somewhat subjective, but tried to pull out the things that I felt would be most helpful for us to memorize from the book of Ephesians. So, for example, I took out the first two verses where it's the introduction. It's helpful. It's God's word. But as a practical thing to have in your heart and mind to meditate on might not be the most essential. So I skipped verse 1 and 2 and went to 3 and ended up putting in most of chapter 1, a lot of chapter 2. But then when it gets to the more practical sections in the later chapters of Ephesians, I was a little more picky in what I put in the worship book to memorize.
He was choosy with
there. But it is helpful to, anytime you're memorizing, I think it's helpful to memorize a section rather than just a random verse here and there, because there's been an epidemic in the church, I think, of using verses out of context. And so memorizing a section helps us to at least be thinking about the verse in its context. And that's always best.
Yes.
You guys have any final thoughts on reading the scripture, memorizing scripture, any encouragements or exhortations you want to give?
I would just say that I think people can utilize audio books or the audio Bible and listen to it. But, and maybe this is more preference than anything, I and my own, how I learn and how I think, but I still don't think there's a substitute for actually reading the Bible. Just picking up and reading it. Sometimes with audio, your eyes are open, you're looking at other things, and so to me, it's maybe not as, I don't know, it doesn't go as deep, you don't connect with it as well, you're not able to think upon it as you're reading as much, or you're listening, but when you're reading, your eyes are on it, you can read it out loud, you can hear it, you can see it, you can write it down, and there's just a way of sometimes studying and reading that makes a difference to me than just hearing, but I don't want to discourage anybody from listening. I would challenge somebody if they say, I only have time to listen and I never have time to read. that would probably not be accurate for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So just encourage listening, yes, but even more so, read it.
It's a good word. I would encourage people to persevere in it because
Amen.
It is hard. Reading the Bible consistently is hard. Understanding what you're reading in Scripture is hard. And so I think because you can read Scripture and not necessarily feel an immediate benefit or feel an immediate stirring in your heart or yeah. have something that just totally blows your mind every day and feel like there's no benefit in this. And so for someone who still wants to pursue God, they can kind of default to what's easier. So for some people, that's singing. So they'll skip or kind of really just very lightly do some Scripture reading and then listen to some worship songs and feel like, okay, that's really where I worship. And
since I feel better, it must be better.
Yeah, yeah, or maybe even just go right to prayer and or go right to journaling. And those things can be good. And hopefully if they're good songs of worship, then they are Scripture saturated. But there's still no replacement for actually taking in God's word, because that's where we may feel as we're journaling, oh, God is speaking to me and I'm writing this down, or this song really speaks to me. And maybe it does, but maybe those are our own emotions that are speaking to us. And so where we have a sure, true voice from God speaking to us is in his word. And so even if it's hard for us, we need to persevere in hearing from God before we respond to him in other ways in our devotional life.
And that takes faith, because you got to believe that it is doing, having a benefit, is having impact and effect
even
on your heart,
feel it.
Even when you don't feel it immediately, that there is blessing that God is bringing through it.
Yeah. Amen. So the power of God is in the word of God.
Amen.
And so we strongly encourage each other, and we strongly encourage the people of Piney Ridge Church to spend time regularly soaking in the Word of God, reading it, meditating on it, praying about it. And then, as you said earlier, Jason, don't just be hearers of the Word, but also be doers of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.